everybody, and welcome back to the I Don't Know Running podcast, where we share our experiences that make running fun and sometimes not so fun. I'm Lewis, and I'm a self-admitted lazy ultra runner.
And I'm Mitch, and these sunglasses actually do suck.
They're not bad.
They don't look bad.
And for the price you paid, I would say they're amazing.
Brian almost gave his back.
What? Yeah, welcome, Brian.
Hey. Mitch made me do it.
I guess so.
Mitch is responsible for everything.
Mitch is responsible for you wearing an awesome looking shirt.
You would like this shirt.
I actually would like this.
You like ugly shirts.
Well, you know, you say that, but I gave your wife an ugly shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did not like that one, but I didn't like, and it's not far off that color.
It's not.
But that's a cool shirt. I kind of like it. Maybe because it's different. It's got a hood. It's got like the thumb sleeve things for running. I mean, it's just different. It's definitely attention grabbing.
It is. We it's funny, like, you know, jumping ahead and not too far ahead. We went to the bar after the race, and there was girls walking around in the bar that were wearing these shirts and their medals. And I tapped them on the I'm like, why, you know, like I said something and they said, we're wearing them because they're so ugly. And they were still wearing their medals. And it was
hours after everything was done.
This is like 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they were happy. They got the marathon in.
and the one girl when she was talking to me, I think she was yelling in my ear. Mm-hmm. She had a couple drinks.
So it was a good thing. She was really enjoying the post-race celebration.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, that's what this podcast is going to be about today, is another race recap. So far, Mitch has done both of them. I haven't done either one yet.
Hence lazy ultra runner. Yeah. So you are running.
Yeah. I'm getting in really good runs. You know what though? I will say this before we jump into it. Normally we do talk a little bit about how our running is going.
And I think we should.
And I went out for So running has been this first couple months have been amazing for me. Consistency, building back up the speed and the distance. It's really been great. I've been excited. I've been motivated to get out when I really didn't want to go out. Mm-hmm. But just that consistency has kept me motivated. So I went out on Sunday after, because Sunday is a work day for me, and I do go in pretty early. I get into church between 5 and 5:30, and then I leave around 1:30. So it's a long day. Get home, and I had plans to run with Nicole. Nicole said, that's my wife for those that don't know, and she said, hey, would you mind going out and getting in a 7-miler with me? She said, sure. I have nothing set. I just want to get out and get something in.
Right.
And so she said that. And I said, it sounds great. So she gets home. She also volunteered that day. So she was pretty wore out. She got home and she's like, I don't want to go. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to get a few more miles in then. I'm going to go for like an 11 or 12 miler. And I didn't eat anything. And I went out and I got less. I was not even 4 miles in. And I almost called Nicole. I almost said,
that's not the first time.
It is not the first time. Usually I'm a little further into a run before I have to call home. But I almost called her and said, hey, can you just come and get me? This sucks. Well, I didn't do that. And I went to Drenthe and then Vriesland. Mm-hmm. I turned the corner and started heading to Vriesland. And I went, you know what? There's that party store. And I have my phone. Says Apple Pay.
So you picked up some snacks.
I picked up snacks and I went, you know what? This is good ultra training. to stop your running, pick from a smorgasbord. And I thought this too.
So what'd you get to eat?
I got a double pack of like donut sticks. I got a Snickers double pack.
Oh my God.
Snickers. I didn't end up eating that.
You just carried it.
I did. And then I got, I don't know, like a 6-pack of those Ritz peanut butter pretzel or peanut butter cracker things. And I got a water. because I didn't take any water with me. That's good, right? So I thought a couple of things. Number one, I thought this is really good ultra training because that's what you do.
Right. Well, you eat garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian eats that kind of stuff before a race typically. Like true. Usually it's a McDonald's.
Did you hit McDonald's on the way to the race?
We did not.
Oh.
No, we didn't. We got our share of burgers in later though.
Oh, and the day before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then the second thing I thought as I paid for that, all those snacks, I thought, holy cow, an ultra race is pretty cheap when you consider what I just spent for this food that I'm eating and what you get to eat when you go through an aid station at an ultra. Man, it was like $5-6. I'm like, 10 times, that's $50 right there.
Yeah. True. So, well, they at least you wouldn't buy it at a gas station prices.
Very
and,
true.
And would you would different. Get it in bulk.
Yeah, so. Totally different, but similar. But anyway, yeah, I took off. I downed the two donut sticks right away, instantly started feeling better. And I drank like half the water bottle and took off and started feeling better and ate the crackers on the way. And it ended up being fine. But man, that was my first real setback where I was.
But it wasn't because, hey, you ate on the run.
I ate on the run. I did get the run done, but man, I felt horrible on that run. So anyway, and then yesterday it was nearly 70 degrees. I was sweating, went down to a t-shirt. And then today it's 20.
Oh, did you run today?
No. Are you kidding?
It was freaking, yeah. It got colder like this morning. I didn't know how to dress. And then I took off and I wore a thin pair of gloves, but it wasn't enough because it got colder as we went.
Oh, yeah.
So by the time I got done, I was pretty cold.
It might have been above freezing when you started.
It was. It was like.
And then it was in the 20s when you probably got.
I don't know about that. It was like in the low 40s when I started. And by the time I got done, I mean, it was sleeting as we were going.
Yeah. Welcome back, winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think that's all I wanted to talk about with running was that. It's been a good show.
So we'll
talk to you guys next week.
Done. Cool. See you next time.
No, we do want to talk about We Run This Beach Marathon.
My gosh. And 10K.
And the 10K. And you guys did both.
Yeah. They have a 5K and a half, but that's not us.
Right. So you could do the mini back-to-back.
Yeah. We want to get as many miles for our money as possible. That's the way we look at it.
And that definitely is.
So you could do, you know, the 5K and marathon, or you could do the 10K and marathon. Any combination.
And
you get a bigger medal. So we like bigger medals.
Nice.
And this is not a local race.
No. No, we talked about this a couple of times on the podcast. Once Mitch thought it was in North Carolina.
Yeah.
We started talking about that for a little bit.
Did I say that?
Yeah. I'm like.
Outer Banks?
Oh. Outer Banks. Yeah, you said Outer Banks.
No.
You did. Because I'm like, are you driving it? Because it's not that. I mean, it is still a poke to get there. But and you're like, no, this is Gulf Shores. And I'm like, wait a minute. Outer Banks and Gulf Shores, that doesn't add up.
Yeah, he already had that state, so that was part of the idea to check off another state and part of his idea. We almost checked the state off a couple of years ago, but things fell apart when the race was canceled the morning of.
That's right. That's all the way there.
Yes, we drove all the way there, and then the morning of, it downpoured enough that they canceled it the morning of.
Yeah, it wasn't just the downpour, too. It was coming down hard. But, yeah. I mean, there was limbs coming down and power going on and stuff. So it was
Rocket City.
Yeah. But I've heard that some kind of weather comes in for that race 2 out of 3 times.
Oh, really?
So, I don't know. So it gave me a bad taste.
Yeah, they might consider moving it like what Indiana did to the fall instead of the spring. Yeah, so you guys hopped on a plane.
Instead of driving, we flew this time.
And you took off on Friday, ran the 10K on Saturday, and then ran the marathon on Sunday and came back Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a full weekend.
What we both realized, though, and maybe we knew this before, is we're not beach people. Hey, you want to walk out on the beach? Not really. It's hot and sandy out there. And what are you going to do? Look at the water? We don't care.
Yeah.
A couple pictures and look around. That was about it. The weather was nice.
I was just going to say.
Still a little breezy. It was like almost 70-ish. I mean, there were only a few people that were actually out on the beach. It really wasn't beach weather.
I think Saturday was warmer than Sunday, though, because we started out, we did the 10K on Saturday, so we had to get our packets in the morning. And I was thinking, we're, what, a mile from the start-finish for the 10K?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, the parking lot's going to fill up. Not the case. We were there in plenty of time.
Oh.
So it was easy to get there and figure all that stuff out.
Yeah, Gulf Shore. I've never been to Gulf Shores before.
That's a popular vacation spot.
Yeah, it's a spring break kind of place. And we're there just before the spring breakers head down there.
Oh, true. Yeah.
They call it the Dutch Riviera, right? So everybody from West Michigan goes there, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say that's another popular Michigan vacation spot. Yeah.
It's crazy when you drive down the main drag. It's just building after building that are all like 25 stories tall.
Just, oh, really?
It's crazy as you drive through there.
On one side of the road.
Yeah.
The beach side.
Yeah, the Gulf side, yeah.
Yeah, so we stayed in this little dinky condo building.
It was an Airbnb.
But it was, we went by cost.
It fit the needs for what we needed.
Yeah.
It was nothing spectacular. We didn't have a beach view unless you like leaned off the balcony and tried to look out there.
Across the road.
And the door, you know, doesn't open very easily. You know, it was basically a hotel room that they called a condo.
Ah, gotcha.
But we had a kitchen.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
We had a refrigerator.
Nice.
Had a bathroom. Yeah.
But on the way there, we decided we're going to pick up some beer and some bourbon. And I came across, like, we were going to get a cheap bottle of Old Forester or whatever. And she's like, well, are you interested in allocated bourbon? Like, well, what do you have? Well, they had Colonel Taylor single barrel. Well, you know, after going back and forth, I'm like, yeah, I want that.
Why not?
It wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
But
you had 4 days.
Well,
three days.
But we did end up drinking some of it. You know, we weren't.
A little bit of it.
A little
bit. I know, you are so proud of this story.
I am, because I it's funny. I posted it on the Bourbon Club on Facebook, and people really want that bottle. So it's kind of a hard one to find. So it was kind of funny that, you know, people, yeah.
Yeah, this is a discussion for the Jim Raisman podcast. Right. Portion, because I have questions about why. But let's get into the race.
The 10K.
Yeah.
We ran that. We did run it. I don't know. I mean, if you want to describe the course on that, it was basically just one loop around that big.
Oh, that was the loop.
Pond.
Yeah,
the one loop around the big pond. And it was partly on a paved trail, partly on a road.
Okay. It's pretty simple, pretty easy to follow. Not very big, obviously. It's a pretty small race.
Not that hard.
5K, 10K all started together. The 5K had a turnaround point, and the 10K went the whole way around.
And a lot of boardwalk. I don't know if you'd like wood boardwalk. I don't know if you'd like that part or not. I didn't care for it.
It didn't bother me, but you complain about a lot of stuff.
I'm always worried I'm going to trip over a board. I'm not
a fan of
I'm not limber.
Oh.
And I don't pick up my feet.
Yeah, shufflers probably get tripped on that. Or so can.
I was worried likely. About that part.
Yeah. I kind of like, I don't mind the
and
board.
You don't want to trip and fall off the boardwalk because there's alligators out there.
Oh, yeah.
We saw some.
Really? Oh, nice.
That was cool.
As big as the one you saw. Where was that, you guys? Where was that?
That was in Brazos Bend.
Oh, Brazos Bend. Yeah. That's right.
But I tried to push it. Brian.
On the 10K?
Yeah. So I'm like, and I ran a faster pace than I do on any training runs. I don't know where that came from. So I felt decent. And actually, you know, and I'm talking about me, not Brian at this point. I actually placed in my age group. I was third in my age group.
Awesome. That's a win.
Yeah. Knowing I have to run the next day. Brian got first in his age group, right? You were what, seventh overall?
Yeah, I was first in my age group. Yeah.
Seventh
we both,
overall.
We both placed in the 10K race. Yeah.
Nice.
So again, I talk to everybody. So I'm talking to these, I don't know why I chose these girls to talk to. And
some, during the 10K?
After the 10K, we're talking to them. And then he gets, they're calling out names to go stand on the podium. And he goes up. And then it's my turn. They call my name out. And he stops talking to him, and I'll let you tell the story.
Well, I have my GoPro in my hand, so it's like, oh, wait a second. I got to go take a picture of Mitch. He never gets to go on the podium. So, and they're all laughing. And then he struggled to step up onto the podium.
I'm an old man.
Was it like a really tall podium?
Well, it was like
three boxes. The middle one's a little bit taller. So it was a 2-foot step up, but there's no step in the middle. There's no handrail for them.
No, I need all that stuff. Because we got done and they had coolers full of beer and a food cart with burgers. So we're sitting there drinking beer and
eating burgers.
I had to set my beer down to get up there and I had to help myself up. So he's got video of it. I think it's
if I can get that from Brian, I'll post it within this, but if not, you'll see it on Brian's.
I think I look like a big idiot, but that's
YouTube channel coming up. But speaking of old man, you had a birthday today.
Not today.
Oh, wait.
It's Friday.
Oh, it's not till Friday? Why did Clint say today?
I don't know.
He's off.
Because he took that picture came up in his memories from when Little Rock.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Yeah, you're definitely getting up there and like, man, you're getting old. I need those handrails done.
I do. But that was my favorite part about the 10K. We were going to go to breakfast afterwards, but after we each ate like 3 burgers and a bunch of chips and drank a bunch of beer, it's like, I'm not hungry anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ron will be so depressed to know that we drove past a couple Waffle Houses so many times.
But we
actually stopped.
We were full.
Didn't need it. I mean, that's a perk to the race. I mean, that's something you talk about and say that's a pro.
Yeah, that was definitely a pro. I mean, I might complain about the boardwalk or whatever, but it really, I think they did a good job for that for the most part, especially for a third year race and a small,
smaller race. So that you said they run quite a few races.
Though. Yeah, I was looking in there.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think so.
They have a good idea of what they should be doing for races. Mm-hmm. So that was a 10K, fun time. No, nothing to complain about. You said parking was amazing. Plenty of parking. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
A lot of 50 staters there, I noticed too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense. Anything where you can quickly get in, get out.
Yeah.
I would imagine 50 staters want to do. I mean, they want to grab something. They just want to grab a race.
It was funny because I think we kind of closed it down because he pointed out like
the 10K?
Yeah.
Or after the race.
He points out, Brian points out like all the park rangers standing there waiting for us to go. And I'm like, I'm sitting there drinking beer. And I'm like, oh. Should we go? I still wanted more.
So that was the allotment they had for both days, and you're trying to polish them off. After the 10K.
I was trying to do my best.
They were all light beers.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So let's jump into the marathon, the big day, the day that, I think more people probably want to hear about. Let's talk about the marathon.
Hey, more important than that, we had to find something else to do the rest of the day in Gulf Shores.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So Mitch made me do it. We went to a car show.
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, there were some cool
cars. Nice car show.
I'm pointing out stuff and he has no idea. I'm like, that's like my top 10. He's like, they're all your top 10. I'm like, well, that one's number one or two. So there's a 69 Mustang sitting there that I was like, oh, that I like that.
That's true. I didn't think about that. I was just thinking, well, yeah, it's the end of the day. Go to bed. And
no,
it was 5K. It was early.
Yeah,
the sun doesn't move very much during the course of a 5K. We still had the rest of the day to figure out what to do.
10K. We did double.
10K.
Yeah.
Twice that. Took twice as long to get that done. Let's jump into the marathon.
Yeah. So started an hour earlier. And again, I mean, we started off, there was not a chip, like a chip start. Like there was no mat at the beginning, right? It was a mass start. I didn't see a mat.
I don't think there was a mat. the start finish of the marathon was a little different place. It was started on the other side of the street at a pavilion instead of a park. So you had to figure out, you had to read the website a couple times to figure out, wait, where's the packet pickup and what side of the street? Where exactly are we at?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew what pavilion it was at, and there was a big parking lot. So we managed to get into the parking lot. And then, you could see where the inflatable was going up and like, oh, that's actually where it finishes. The start's over here.
So, oh, okay. So different yeah, finish from start. So,
a little bit to figure out, but you can just roll with it.
Yeah, yeah, it started out, we're both like standing, like it was a little bit of a cluster to start, and we're both kind of like, oh, this isn't a good sign. Because you had to, and then you went down the road to start, and most of it's on trails, and they didn't close the road. And we've both done races like that, where they don't close the road. Not a big fan of that, because it's just a little nerve-wracking. So we kind of started off like that, and we crossed the road, and it's like, oh, I guess we're going, and there's no mat, so I'm waiting to start my watch. I'm like, I could have started it when they said no.
Oh, okay.
So it was just, yeah, just gotcha. That. But once you got off the road, it was fine.
Yep.
And it's a really squirrely course. Like, if you try to follow the map, you almost have to do that. It's hard to follow, but I didn't have a problem following it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because they directed you well and it was marked out well, but yeah.
Very few volunteers, though, because, again, a third-year race, so there's only a couple people at each aid station, and they might have one person trying to hand water.
Yeah.
You might have to grab your own water. So it's not going to be, like, a busy, like, where you don't have to grab your water. It's just you have to kind of set up that way.
And, I mean, let's face it, it's not a huge marathon, 150, 60 people, between 150 and 200. I don't know exactly, but somewhere in that neighborhood. So it's not like it's super cramped as you're going through most aid stations, I would guess.
No, it wasn't bad.
Okay.
It's just...
Especially after you lose the half marathoners.
Oh, true. Yeah. Oh, true. Wait, I was just looking at marathoners, 160.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So...
There were more half marathoners than full marathoners.
That's true. So I was just looking at marathon numbers.
It was a decent crowd running through there, you know, because especially if they don't have signs to line up, people never line. I mean, pet peeve, they never line up where they should.
Anyway.
So you're a lot of zigzagging and short stepping to start.
Yep.
But we started off kind of running together too. And I'm not running that fast. I'm still coming. Yeah. Like I feel like I'm getting better.
Yeah.
And we're running like a 9-minute pace. And he's like, is this a good pace? I'm like, no, I don't ever run this fast.
This is fast.
It's too fast.
I wanted to go slow the first 6-8 miles or so. Apparently, I can't go slow enough for him.
Right.
So after 2 miles, I just stop looking back.
Well, and I was going to say, you really don't care because you're trying to log decent, long,
I just easy wanted to miles. Get a good workout for the whole weekend and push a little bit.
Because everything for you is geared towards Western states.
Yeah.
Logging miles and logging races just to get ready for that.
Staying healthy for that.
Yeah.
So I think I still saw you at about mile 3 yet. And then.
Well, wait a minute. You guys only finished like 10 minutes apart?
2 minutes apart.
2 minutes apart.
Two and a half.
Two and a half. So did you just keep him in your sights?
No. I actually slowed down. I thought I just, based on where I've been with my training.
Yeah.
You know, like doubling my miles from December to January, and then doing 2 marathons in February. I'm like, all right, I know I'm getting the base. I'm doing what I need to do, but I know I can't maintain a flat 9-minute mile.
Yep.
At this point, anyway.
What is a 9-minute mile?
That would have like put me around 4. Right around 4.
Is that right around 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I knew that. So then I'm like, I take off and I'm like, and then we've been talking to Terrence so much about sodium. So, and then I talked to Jeff at Striders and he's like, well, try this stuff, the salt stick stuff. They're just chewables.
Oh, yeah. I think I have some of those.
The only thing is they're really sweet.
And you have to eat a ton of them.
Yes. That's what I realized. To get as much sodium as that Terrence has been talking about, I'm like, I got to constantly have these same things in my mouth.
Every 5 minutes, you got to be popping one.
Yeah, so I did. I think it might have turned my stomach a little bit for a little bit. I had to use the bathroom, but I think that actually helped.
Oh, really?
Because later in the race, I actually was able to pick it up, like the last few miles.
Nice.
I started to feel better, and it's like, I don't have the cramps. I don't have any of this stuff. And I do horrible at nutrition and races anyway. But then I picked it up. And my last mile, I was like mile 25 to 26. I was like a sub 9 minute mile. And I felt,
oh, wow.
I felt fantastic.
And that last mile was all boardwalk.
Yeah.
And I didn't
amazing.
Trip.
And I didn't
amazing.
Trip.
That was one of your fastest miles. Well, that's cool.
I don't know. I mean, and you said, I mean, I'll let you tell your part from.
Yeah. How was your race? And
I just tried to stick at a decent pace. I was a 8.5 minute mile for quite a while, and around 16 or 17 miles, I just walked a little bit. I saw an actual living armadillo on the side of the road.
Oh, wow.
Not a road, but a living one.
Yeah.
And I just walked a little bit. So between 16 and 21 or so, I think slowed down. And then the last few miles was more just a run, walk. There's so many little boardwalk bridges that we got to that a lot of times, okay, I'm just going to walk this until I get to the end of it.
Yep.
Not knowing that it was 3/4 of a mile
yeah.
long.
So
I gave up a few minutes doing that, but I ran pretty fast the day before. And I think I was feeling that a little bit.
Okay.
So I still got a good workout in, and that's what it was.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's hard. It is really hard if all you've done is run marathon and under. It's really hard to train in the ultra distance and force yourself to like, no, you really should walk. You honestly yeah. should walk.
I think based on where he's, you know, what his end goal is, I don't yeah. think it matters. All
no.
you're trying to do is get miles
100%.
On your feet. And for us, you know, Brian probably doesn't care about the 50 states like I do, but it's
yeah.
another state. You don't have to kill yourself. If you do multiple marathons, you can't run them all fast. Like
right.
you have to,
yeah,
you got to pick and choose.
Yeah.
Because I was planning to hopefully be under 4 hours and then like, yeah, I don't care if I'm under
yeah.
4 hours. Who else cares? Nobody else cares what my
right.
time is. So
right.
I just slowed down a little bit. But
yeah.
But if he had actually caught up to me, I would have taken him down then. But.
I did. I caught people on that last boardwalk.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
a long ways. And I'm like, and that guy stops to walk. And I'm like, we're a mile. Come on. I yell at him.
Have you never done that?
Not that I'm going to admit, but he fist bumps me.
Oh,
and
okay.
we, you know, like, and I think I got him to run again.
Ah, cool.
But he finishes and I'm standing there and I'm talking to Brian and he's walking with his wife or girlfriend or something. And I said, I caught him walking. And he just laughs. He's like, oh, you did help me. I got going again.
That's cool. Cool. It was how are the aid stations? Like plenty stocked, like just a water and a Gatorade type thing? Or did they, you know, you talked about it was a little short staff, but small
yeah,
race.
Not a big deal.
Yeah. It was mostly just the 5 gallon coolers with cups that they only put this much in. But I carried a handheld, so I topped it off every other time.
Yeah. They had goo at almost every aid station. Too,
oh, nice.
I noticed that. And I did like those cups were pretty teeny. So I was stopping and taking a couple
a few,
because it
yeah.
was warm. So I was making sure. I was
you know, it's
that.
Funny. It's such a hard. I say it's
but they're
hard.
Teeny cups, like the teeny ones.
Oh, yeah.
So
you actually they literally couldn't put enough
not,
in them.
Yeah, it was not even hardly a swallow. So.
Well, it's funny because the alternative is sometimes you get them and they're chuck full and it's like, how yeah. am I going to drink 12 ounces of water right now?
The little ones were good for the 5K, 10K, but when you have marathon
yeah.
runners, you need to.
A little bit more in there, yeah.
Especially yeah. late in the race because you got to eat, you're yeah. thirsty. So it's like.
True, yeah. And so what was the weather on race day?
It's perfect.
Like 60
it got warm,
or?
Warmed up like 20 degrees from the time we started.
Oh, wow.
Time we finished.
From like.
So it was like 46 to 66.
Okay.
And sunny.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we did have cover. Like there was shade yeah. in a lot of places though. So it wasn't like you're in the full sun.
Oh,
I made
nice,
sure.
Nice, nice.
I think we both. Lathered up with sunblock because we live in Michigan.
We're from Michigan, yeah.
Right. I should have done that yesterday. My goodness. So what about parking? So or just logistics getting into the race, parking, getting out?
It's a big parking lot there. And it's if they would have the race a couple of weeks later in the year, it'd be,
there'd
a,
be no way.
A mess.
A mess with spring breakers. But
they said it starts next week already.
Yeah. It was
wow.
kind of felt like a ghost town at times and places.
Yeah.
So. Which isn't bad, I suppose, when you're yeah. just wanting to get in and get a marathon in. And I mean, it's kind of nice. You can go and explore that area and not have it be crazy congested. congested.
Yeah. I don't, you know, again, we're jilted, like we're not beach people, but what's her explore? You look at all the big buildings and the beach, like, okay. There's
plenty of restaurants around, but
well, that's what I mean. You can check out the restaurants. You can pick your restaurant because it's probably not packed.
But if you partake in all of the food that you can at the race, you don't have to
do that. Yeah. So how were the burgers on day two?
They were, it was pulled pork.
Pulled pork.
Oh, and how was that?
Fantastic.
Really?
We got a few of them.
Nice.
Yeah, a couple. And I learned from the day before. So their finish line, I think they did a good job at the finish line. You know, cool. Not a lot of people, but they had, you know, again, coolers full of beer. Go up, grab one. And I learned from the day before, I grabbed a couple at a time this time. And then we sat in the picnic tables looking at the beach and
nice.
Talking to more people.
Oh, that's cool. And so, yeah, the name of the race is We Run This Beach, but isn't We Run This Beach more than one?
They have another race that you were saying that has a similar.
When I looked it up, I thought I selected a website and I thought it was a different race.
There's one in January.
Is it called We Run This Beach?
It's something similar.
Somebody there was talking about there was another race that uses a lot of the same trails.
Yeah.
Well, because I got a little confused because what's the name of the company that puts it on?
Running Lane.
Running Lane. Okay. So maybe there was just some confusion on the different websites I was pulling up or something.
Because there's one in January that I looked at too, and the timing wise, it didn't work out for me. I just was not ready.
Yeah.
Not that I was really ready for this either, but.
I mean, you got a training run in February.
Right.
So you're ready. I mean, it sounds like you had a good race, honestly.
Four-ten-ish? 4:16.
16?
Like right on the second. And,
okay.
And it gave me some confidence because I was really worried about pacing for Glass City up. And I was like, because after Groundhog, that was kind of a little bit of a disaster for me. And then this, it's like a couple weeks later, I'm like, you know what? It's better. Like I'm doing better.
And so, you felt good throughout the race.
Pretty much. I mean, at that low spot in the middle, but I was able to feel good at the end.
But the thing of it is, that low spot in the middle, there are very few marathons where you don't hit that low spot in the middle. Like, no matter how good you feel, like my best race, my PR race, it sucks. It's 26 miles. Like I don't. Now, granted, there may be one or two, right, where you never felt bad. But think of all the marathons you guys have ran.
Yeah.
Seldom do you not hit a low spot in a marathon.
Right.
You just do.
That's the nervousness I have before the race, even after, you know, however many races I'm in now.
You still get nervous?
A little bit. Like, I get that, like, it's going to be a long day. Like, well, I know how much work I got to put in.
Well, hang on a second. You have 169 marathon or longer. Brian, what do you have now?
262.
Maybe you got to get over that 200. Yeah, maybe it's in that neighborhood. You start losing those nerves.
Well, you know, I know I can do it. Yeah. It's not the issue, but you just know it's like, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
You know, and I know how to put one foot in front of the other. I know how to, you know.
Yep. Yep.
I know how to suck it up. I think I'm good at that.
So is this a race that you guys would do? And I don't want to say.
I would recommend it.
That's
what I
mean.
I don't know if I'd do it again just because of.
But knowing what you know now, if you hadn't done the race, you would go and do it.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
And I'd recommend that people do their homework on it too.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask. I was going to ask. The start and finish are not in the same spot, but did that throw you off?
The start and the finish are in the same spot, but the 10K and marathon are not.
Wait, what?
So the 5K, 10K, the first day
is at a park,
and it uses the same finish line as the start-finish. You do a loop, and you come back to the same one.
Gotcha.
But the marathon is at a different park.
Oh.
And in that parking lot, they have a different starting line and a different finish line.
Gotcha.
Well, that's interesting. And the cool part is that part you might not like too, but you got to go up the boardwalk, and you go over the...
boardwalk.
You go over the highway there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the biggest overpass, the big overpass. It's the biggest hill in the whole race is the last
50 feet. It's flat. It's flat. So if you're looking for a Boston qualifier, and you want to run 50 states, yeah. It's a good, you know, it's kind of dead at that time as far as the tourism part, the weather, it's coolish.
I mean, it seems like a really relaxing race for as far as marathons go. Mm-hmm. Easy to get in, easy to get out. Good food, good beer. I mean,
yeah, I like that part a lot.
A lot of positives or pros to this race.
And we went out to a really good seafood restaurant the Saturday night, you know, got our no carbs in, but yeah, that was really good too. I got seared tuna and you got like a different fish.
Yeah,
but
grouper, I think. So
cool. Well, that is anything else from the race you want to?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
As far as reading the program.
Oh, yeah.
Like what they said at the beginning of the race, like I knew it from looking at the course map, how the full and the half run together.
Oh, yeah.
So I knew between 9 and 10, the half splits and goes a different direction. And they actually announced it at the beginning of the race.
Oh, like, no.
The full marathons, we followed pink, I think, and the halves followed green. And the only places they had it were strips of tape on the road, and actually I think they wrote half and full on it, I think. Or did they have it written on it?
Maybe
it was just colors.
They had signs that said long course and short course.
Yeah. So
with a color.
Yeah. That's what it anyway. We get to the spot where it splits.
Yeah.
And I know what's going on.
Yeah.
The half marathoners turn right and we go straight. And at that point everybody's pretty stretched out because we already lost the half marathoners, and I'm looking up ahead and guy caught up to a woman and I see they're chatting just a little bit and I'm kind of gaining up on them. And then we get to the aid station that's at about mile 13 and she freaks out.
No way.
Guess who was running the half?
Oh my goodness.
So the other guy was like, I guess you're running the full now, and like, I don't know what to help. Yeah, like there's an aid station right here, but
you can turn around and go back 3 miles, 4 miles.
Yeah, and then continue on with her.
Yeah.
I have no idea what she did, but.
She had a 17-miler. Mm-hmm. 17-mile half.
Yeah, and I didn't quite catch all of it on the GoPro like I had hoped, but I know enough that she was wearing headphones, so she probably didn't hear anything.
Because there was a guy standing there telling you to, you know, he was calling it out. Turn or go straight.
Oh, man. And that's a bummer. But
the bib colors were all the same, too.
That was so weird to me. Like, they were all the same.
Because for a small race, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, what are you going to, for a, you know, whatever, two, let's say three.
Or anything, that would be one of them. That like
different color bibs?
Yeah. Like, if you are having somebody point directions, it's obvious.
Yeah, you could say, yeah.
I don't know. You read it. It was pretty clear. They announced it before. They had somebody at the spot. They had the colors. There's only so much you could do. I mean, you do have to take some accountability on your own follow.
Yeah, she should have had to run the full at that point. Sorry. Yeah. It's the only way back.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, she had a good pace going. She could have.
Yeah. I mean, it does happen, right? I mean, stuff happens or whatever. You get in a certain mindset and you're just not paying attention, whatever. I mean, but yeah. If you knew it was at 9, I would think when you hit 9.5 and you haven't separated from the group, you would start going,
I was really nervous about missing any turn or anything like that, too. So I kept looking. And then once in a while, you're like, I don't know. I haven't seen anybody in a little while.
Oh.
I hope I'm on the right track.
Because you're literally that spread out at that point.
Quite a bit, because it's not a big race, right?
Yeah. Did you ever lose sight of somebody in front of you?
Yeah, once in a while.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, especially at that one spot out.
Because there was a lot of
showing me.
Yeah, a lot of turns. So.
Okay. But it doesn't sound like you got off course. It sounds like you ran the correct course. You didn't take a right when you were supposed to go straight.
I showed 26.3 at the finish line.
That's
so maybe
pretty decent. That's pretty decent. Well, cool. Sounds like it was a good race. Nice race recap. I think it's one that you guys would recommend. That's awesome. Just pay attention if you're going to run the half. You got to turn off at 9 or pay attention to the program. Maybe it'll be 8 next year. Who knows? But that's cool. Let's just talk briefly while we got Brian here. Brian is doing Western States. I am super excited to be going with him again this year and crewing/ helping get video. I think that's a component that I know I'm excited to add to it. And I know Brian wants to do a little more video, but first of all, just how are things? How are you feeling? How's the running side of things?
Healthy right now, I think is the best word. Like nothing's sore, nothing's really lingering that bad. I think my mileage is a little bit down from where it might have been in 2015 when I ran it before, but there's still time to ramp up some more miles. But everything feels healthy, and that's the main thing right now.
Yeah, and then it's just logging.
Well,
a bunch
you do
of miles.
You have a little one at home now, so it's not just as quick.
That's true.
To jump out.
That's true. Yeah, a lot more at going on at home than in 15. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah.
In 15, you could kind of just if you wanted to log 20 miles a day, you could. But now, not the same.
Not the same.
Well, cool. Let's, good that you're healthy. Yeah, go ahead.
We kind of talked about on the trip a little bit about, you know, lining up races. So you're going to line up races to try to make sure that you get your miles in. Yeah. So you're looking at a few.
I mean, we always have our calendars and potential stuff. I'm not signed up for anything between now and then.
But you have your eye on a couple.
You were looking at Glass City, I thought was one of them, but go ahead.
Maybe not. Really.
I don't know. Pacing. Spot.
Whatever I do, it'll probably be a last minute.
I mean, you could pace it with Mitch. Actually, you could pace it with me. I don't think there's a 350 yet either. I'm doing 350. But I don't think I have a partner yet.
There's a couple of trail marathons in Michigan that weekend.
Yeah,
there's
Hurt the Dirt
and trail marathon.
That would probably be better.
Yeah, there's possibilities, there's options, but I'm not committing to any of them quite yet.
So that's the training side. Let's talk about. And this is something that I think a lot of people don't get. Now, granted, there are different ways you can approach a race like this or a race like any 100 miler. And for those that don't know, Western States is a 100 mile race out in California around Lake Tahoe. And it runs basically straight west to Auburn. And it is in
June.
It is in June and it is in remote areas. Basically from Lake Tahoe to
it's beautiful.
Auburn. It is so beautiful. The especially the when you get out of the I don't know if it's out of the wilderness area, but you get up onto that ridge and you can look back across to where we came from. Yeah. When you first come out of that, it is insane. Like that is long before like you can have any pacers or anything, but it's like mile 10, 12, something like that.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood, 8 to 12, something like that. But you come out and you literally, you're just running, right? And you look left and you go, holy smokes. It is just mountains and it's amazing.
And when you're from Michigan and you never see anything like that.
That's true.
It kind of grabs your attention.
That's true. But let's talk about putting together a crew. Like, how has that been? And I know for me, it was fairly simple. I think for you, the first time it was fairly simple. You had people that wanted to go.
Yeah.
This time a little bit different. You have a lot more you're juggling.
Yeah.
How has that been? And you feel like it's landed?
Well, we have our flights booked and that's it.
So you have your flights booked. You don't have the VRBO or Airbnb or whatever you're calling it.
And there's still lots of those available in the Truckee area right now. So I'm not sweating that part.
And that is something that you're doing different this year than before. Before we stayed basically right at Squaw.
Yeah.
Which is where it starts.
Yeah. And I don't remember the prices being as expensive back then as what they are now in that area.
Yeah.
For the few of options that are available, it's nuts. But Truckee is 20, 25 minutes away from the start finish anyway, so it's not that far. Still very nice places from the pictures and they cost a lot less. So I think that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, if I remember right, I went 2 years after you and I think mine was only like $2,500. For 7 days.
That was a nice place.
And it was a really nice place.
That's a steal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I know. I'm going to end up having to pay now, I'm going to have to pay more than that just for Truckee.
Right. And I was really close to where you had stayed. Yeah. But it was a super nice place. But
you could almost see the start line from where you were at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
We have lots of videos of us running up and down that road.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like you've got plane tickets and you do have a crew. Most of the crew is pretty much 90% committed.
Yep.
I would say.
I don't think anybody's pulled the trigger on booking flights quite yet, but it needs to happen soon.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I was trying and I had a mileage thing I was working on. Do you remember when we went to Javelina, all the chaos from flying home? Jack and I both got delayed. Like I got my flight. They couldn't get a pilot or a flight attendant or something. And so they ended up midnight. They're like, no, you're not going to get your flight. So head home. And so then it was a scramble to find a hotel. And when that many flights are getting canceled, it was actually hard to find a hotel. Found a hotel, whatever, flew out the next morning. Well, in that process, American Airlines is like, here's 25 or 27,000 miles or something like that. That just expired in like November.
So
I can't even use them. And I was working with Sean, who's going, and we were like, oh, hey, here's these American Airlines. Let's book these tickets. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting in a chat room to try to be able to ask if I could just have them back. And it ended up not being able to. But we did find our flight. I think we're going to book that flight. And
so it'll be a Tuesday to Tuesday then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This, whatever, second to.
So we're flying to Reno. No,
I don't remember. Whatever the date is. 28th to second or something like that. Yes, into Reno. Yep. Which is really convenient, especially for Truckee. It's even closer.
Yeah.
So we probably
figure out if we had, since we might have more people, how the vehicle arrangement's going to work out.
Yeah.
So there's still some details to iron out.
But you've got the crew, you're healthy. I think other than just getting plane tickets booked and you finalizing your whatever place we're staying at, we're pretty much set. And I think everybody's getting their miles in. I know Sean is. Is Amy planning to run some of that too then?
That's kind of the idea.
Okay.
And we don't know who's going to do what yet, to be determined, and we'll figure that out.
So let me ask you. Let me ask you this: Are you thinking for Green Gate, near side or far side?
For
the crew,
it depends. Depends just how many people and what our vehicle situation is.
That's
too.
That's true. If we have two,
I don't want to put any extra burden on the crew.
Yeah.
And people listening to this probably don't know the language of it, but like the aid station names, like, yeah, if you're having a one crew or the
one
crew
vehicle
or whatever, you go to Robinson Flat, Michigan Bluff, Forest Hill, and then you either go near side or far side and then Pointed Rocks or whatever. But if you have a second car, then you have the B crew, then they could go a different
leapfrog way
and hit Dusty Corners and Duncan Canyon or something. And then you could do something else too. So if it made sense that we had two vehicles and the crew decided that they wanted to split up because you wanted to see the other aid stations you didn't see before, great.
That's a good point.
But I don't want to push that on the crew to do that because if we just did this, the normal ones that the A crew goes to, that would be great.
You couldn't do Rucky Chucky or Green Gate. Like that's the other crew kind of thing? Or can you hit both? Can you actually hit one of them?
If we had two vehicles,
you could.
But you can't go to Rucky Chucky otherwise if you go to our A choice, you know, like how we went.
You got to do one or the other. You can't get to both.
You can't get to both, but can you? I'm trying to think of the aid station that we go to before that.
Forest Hill.
But you can get from Forest Hill to Rucky Chucky though, right? You could choose that.
Yeah.
Make it to Green Gate.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to
one car could go there, but then they have to hike on foot like 2.5 miles to get to it.
To Rucky Chucky as well?
On the near side, I believe it's a longer
hike.
And on the far side is still like the 1.25 mile hike.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
It's a hike either way.
Okay.
I think it's more than just about what you're taking.
Yeah.
Because I know when I went, I was like, yeah, bring it all. I want choices.
I'm in a backpack.
And the thing of it is, I did. I was thankful that I did have socks because I could have put socks
in my pocket, though. I had to carry a whole bag just for your socks.
I was glad I had that option.
Yeah. That sucked. Carrying coolers down there, your big old huge bag.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it.
Sucked.
I mean, I'm sure that mile and a quarter trek was way harder than the 70 I had put into that point.
You know what? You chose the 70.
Yeah. Well, cool.
A lot to be figured out, but there's time between now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. But it sounds like well on your way and staying healthy, which is super important. So, yeah. And as far as races go, I would look forward to one of those trail races with you for sure. Probably not the same weekend as Glass City, but one of the other ones for sure. So,
well, if we decide by tomorrow, we can go to New Mexico and we can still do that.
When is that?
The 16th
of
March.
March. No,
you got this.
No. I just told you about how I died on an 11 miler.
Yeah, but you got it out of the way. You're fine now.
No, I do have a long run this weekend, though. I want to get in a 18 or a 20.
Yeah, and then you long run, and then you take a week down, and then marathon.
I'm just ignoring it.
I'm ignoring it too. I'm not doing it.
I'm just ignoring it. I'm not going to New Mexico next year. Well, wait, what New Mexico one are you talking about? The Baton Death March?
Yeah.
No. We talked about that for 2025.
No, you did. I said we did. We can do it sooner.
Yeah. Pretty sure we did. And you said, yeah, it could work.
If it doesn't work this year.
Yeah, it's not going to work this year. It's 2 weeks away. There's no way.
Three.
No way.
Or whatever. Something. Yeah.
No. I forgot where I was even going now. But all that to say, I want to get in. Oh, I almost freaked out recently because I looked at a training plan for Glass City and I went, holy smokes, I should already be at 20 miles right now. I don't know what this plan was doing, but it had like 3 20 milers and a 22 miler.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you don't need all that.
That's pretty steep, but
that is.
So then I was like, I should be okay. I'm going to get in my 18 to 20 miler.
My training for, Groundhog was 15 the week before.
Yeah, that's enough. I guess.
It was enough.
Yeah. You had a great time with that race, too.
I did. Memories.
Yeah. It's a good thing they had alcohol on the course.
They did.
Well, cool. Well, awesome. Yeah, I guess at this point, let's just say We Run This Beach is a race that you guys should go check out if you're looking for an Alabama Gulf Shores area race. It's at a great time of the year. You can go and check it out and not be bombarded with a bunch of people coming down from the north. Mm-hmm. And yeah, looks like we are set for Western States coming up. That's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. And if we have some fun stuff to throw up from the race, we certainly will. I do want to post that map with all the directions because it is a little bit of a, boy, you would not want to try to just memorize how to do that race. It would be tough. But we'll throw that up and kind of post it in the video along with this. And yeah, check us out on Facebook, check us out on YouTube, check us out on Patreon. You can join the team there. You can join for free even. But with that, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the I Don't Know Running Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time as we share more about what we just don't know.
Until then.
Yeah, and happy running.
Be happy.